Well, hello, everybody. This is Steve Hutto with Harvest Celebration Ministries and the Missions Community. And I want to thank you for stopping by and taking a listen to this teaching. We're going to be talking about maturing in Christ and bearing fruit for Christ. I'm going to start by saying that Jesus didn't save you or me or all mankind. He didn't die for us so that we would only be saved from hell and we would go to heaven. But he died for us, certainly for those reasons. But equally as important, Jesus died for us because he has an incredible destiny for us while we still live on this planet. If it was all only about our salvation, as great as that is, once we got saved, we'd just drop dead because we wouldn't be necessary and our life wouldn't be necessary. But that's not the case, so that when we get saved, we become born again, and then we are, from that point, as what some call or say is a babe in Christ, we are supposed to grow and advance in our relationship with Jesus and in our knowledge, the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and grow up. And it doesn't happen overnight, but the fact is we're supposed to grow. And let me just go ahead and say this. When you're growing in Jesus, you bear fruit. When you're growing in Jesus, you're maturing. And when you're maturing, you're bearing fruit. The purpose, listen carefully to this. The purpose of planting a seed in the ground is so that it will grow up and either produce a beautiful bloom or it will produce fruit of some type or vegetables of some type. The purpose that you plant corn kernels in the ground, the purpose for that is so that that plant, along with others, will grow up, be a healthy plant, and in its time, it will bear other kernels of corn through those ears that it produces. So you plant corn so that you can get corn. What a waste of time it would be for farmers to go out and work a month or so to prepare the land, then plant the seeds and nothing ever happened. Or they just grew up and they made really beautiful corn plants, but they never produced any corn. That would be terrible. It would be a total waste of time, and there would be no such thing as farming if that happened. So even as a Christian, God has given us His Word to be implanted within us so that the Word becomes implanted or becomes rooted, and then we become rooted in the Word and we grow. We grow in our relationship. This is generally speaking, but we grow in our relationship by having regular prayer times, regular times of fellowship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, by studying the Word, fellowshipping with other Christians, being taught by other Christians. We grow in Jesus with the sole purpose of a harvest. That harvest would be fruit. And let me just go ahead and share this scripture from John chapter 15. I'm going to read John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said this, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." And verse 8, "My Father is glorified by this." By what? "That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So number one, if you bear fruit, then there is proof, my friend, that you are a true follower of Jesus. And number two, if you bear fruit, it brings glory to God. That's what God wants you to do once you're saved on the earth today. Bear fruit to bring glory to God, because when you bring glory to God, others see that glory and they understand that God is real. And number two, you bear fruit so that you can prove to be disciples of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven." There are a lot of people that you may know that claim they know Jesus. They claim they're Christians. They may shout hallelujah in church, but the truth is, they're not going to stand before Jesus in heaven when they leave this life. Why? Because they haven't really been followers of Jesus in a genuine sense. Some of those people, what I'm saying is, some of those people who claim to be saved aren't really saved. Others that claim to be saved that bear no fruit never grew up in Jesus and never really made an impact on the world they live in. But let me back up and read this again. Verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Now, he's not describing himself as a genie. What he's saying is, if you live in me, if you abide in me, if you hunger and thirst and feed on my word and pray and hear what I have to say to you and follow after me, then what you're going to ask is going to be in line with the word that you're feeding on, and he'll do it for you. Man, what an incredible revelation that could be to someone right now listening to this. You know, it's not just ask anything you wish and I'm going to give it to you, Jesus said. No, there's stipulations. There are conditions. You have to abide in Jesus. You have to dwell in Jesus. Just before that, he said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. In order to bear fruit, you have to abide in me and I in you." So we, in a sense, we have to be plugged in and connected to the life flow that Jesus has that causes us to live and to bear fruit for him. And that's why he said, whatever you ask, it'll be done for you. If I'm living for Jesus and I'm following him and I'm very intent upon growing in Christ, then I'm growing and the things that I ask are in line with his heart and his word. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter 4, and I want to talk for a little bit about the parable of the sower and the soils. You probably heard this parable before. It's not in only, I mean, Mark is not the only gospel that it's in, but I like this version, if you will, of the parable of the sower and the soils. Listen to this. "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of soil. And after that, the sun had risen," in verse 6. "And once that happened, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, the first example was the seed that fell beside the road. The birds came and ate it before it had any chance of germinating or falling into the soil or taking root. The second analogy, we're going to talk about the actual analogies in just a moment, is the seed that fell among the rocks. This seed came up really quickly because it was just kind of sitting there, just kind of on top of the soil, and they'll do that. But when it gets hotter, the heat will cause it to wither away because it's not really rooted in the, it's not buried in the ground, if you will, and therefore it's not drawing on the water and the nourishment from the soil, so it will wither very easily. And then the third were the seeds that fell into the soil that had the thorns in it. Now, this is a good example of what the whole thing is about, because it grew. It fell into the soil, and the thorns came up with the plants, but it yielded no crop because the thorns choked the plants out. And when you yield no crop, you have no purpose, because that's what the purpose of planting the seed, remember, is about, bearing fruit. And then we'll talk about the good soil that actually produced fruit. That seed that fell into that soil fulfilled its purpose. Now, let's pick it up where Jesus explains these analogies. In verse 14 of Mark chapter 4, he said, "The sower sows the word." So now we're talking about the seed of the word of God. He said, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear," did you catch that? They hear. "But immediately Satan comes and he takes away the word which has been sown in them." You know, there are many people in the world today that hear the word of God, especially in our country, in the Western culture, in the U.S. where I live. There are many people that hear the word of God all the time, but they really don't hear the word of God. I mean, you could turn on several Christian stations just on a satellite. You can watch television shows and videos and sermons and services from all over the world by internet. Every family has a multitude of Bibles in their homes, and the Word of God is everywhere, and there's Christian bookstores, and it's just so easy to get the Word of God. And we have the Word of God in abundance in our country and in our culture. But because it's so abundant, many people never receive the Word of God because they're so used to hearing it, it just kind of bounces off their ears, or as we say, it goes in one ear and out the other. And the Word is broadcast all the time, but Satan, because of the hardness of the soil in their heart, he comes and he steals away the Word before it has a chance to take root. Verse 16, and in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the Word, immediately receive it with joy. In other words, they hear it. And not only do they hear it, but they receive it. But there's something wrong. They've got rocks in their heart. And the reason, the whole thing is, the Word is not firmly rooted inside of them. Now, this is a good example of why it's so important that we get the Word of God rooted in our heart. How do we do that? We read it. We meditate on it. We memorize it. Then we pray it. We praise with it. We confess the Word of God. Jesus said when Satan came to him to tempt him in the wilderness, he said, you know, you've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and I know you're very hungry. You're the Son of God. Just command these stones to be bread, man, and you can fill yourself up. And Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I take that literally. I need to live on the entire full Word of God, and so do you. And so what happens is, because they have no firm root in themselves, this second group here, they're only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately they fall away. Jesus said it, if they hated Him, they're going to hate you. There are going to be some that receive Him, and they'll receive you. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it, the word, becomes unfruitful. There are many Christians like this. And let me say this, the first scenario, I believe, is a person that's not even saved. But they still hear the Word of God, and it just bounces off. The enemy's got them right where he wants them, and they come in and hear the Word either in church or on TV or from a friend or whatever, but they just never receive the Word because the enemy steals the Word before it has a chance to go into their heart. And the second scenario, I believe, are Christians. But I believe they're very shallow Christians. And they don't have the Word in them. They enjoy perhaps going to church and celebrating and enjoying the presence of God. But they get out there in the middle of the week and life gets a little bit tough and the heat gets turned up just a bit. And they fall away and perhaps, you know, I mean, it could be demonstrated in many ways. But maybe they cuss like a sailor at work during the week. But on Sunday, they really do enjoy the presence of the Lord. And they want to do that all week long. But they're just not strong enough because the Word of God is not rooted. And they're not grounded in the Word of God. And then, of course, the scenario I'm talking about now is the believer. That's a believer. That basically allows things in their heart. He says, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares and the worries of the world, and the desires for other things. You see, I live in a culture where people look at Jesus as one who came to help them. But Jesus came to save us. He's not a part of our lives that's conveniently or who is conveniently there when we need Him. He's not a slice of the pie, so to speak. Jesus is everything. We need to understand that. He is everything for us. Our lives are all about Jesus. Listen, Jesus didn't save part of me. He didn't save a little slice of me. Jesus saved all of me. As a matter of fact, at the point I accepted Jesus and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I said, Father, whatever you have and every bit of it, I don't care whether I know anything about it or not, I want it, and I want it now. And God gave me. I mean, I sold out to Him, and He overwhelmed me with His presence, overwhelmed me. And it was an incredible time, and I've never been the same, and that's been 40-something years ago. And I still know that I'm growing in Him. My point is that Jesus came to save all of you. He didn't come to be a small part of your life that you could draw on when you felt uncomfortable or you got in trouble. I used to think that's what Jesus was all about. He was just kind of standing around in the background. And I'd go a couple of times a year and go to church, and or if I got in trouble or really had a need or something like that, that, well, it was really more of a financial want, a new toy for me, then I would just pray about it. But Jesus wasn't my everything, but man, let me tell you, He is now, and He should be everything to you. So it's the desires for other things. It could be sports. It could be a job. It could be family. You know, let me just ask yourself this question. Do you know more about the latest Hollywood trends and flicks than you do about the Word of God, and you are a Christian? You should know more about Jesus than you do about Hollywood. Some people think I'm pretty naive because they'll mention the name of an actor or an actress, and I'm like, who? What movie was that? They're like, well, you know, it was the number one blockbuster for all last year, and you've never heard of this movie? I don't do Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't feed me. It's not about Hollywood. Hollywood hates Jesus. Hollywood hates morality. Hollywood hates anything to do with the kingdom of God and makes it clear and declares it. But yet many Christians continue to feed the Hollywood monster, their money, their hard-earned money, and yet spend very little time in the presence of Jesus or in His Word. Their desires for other things. And what happens is they come in and they'll choke the Word in you and in whoever desires other things more than Jesus. The result is they bear no fruit. You may be saved and you may be going to heaven, but if you're not bearing fruit because you're letting the desires for other things choke the Word in you, you are not fulfilling your purpose. You're not making an impact on the world around you. But if you are bearing fruit, my friend, and you are growing in Jesus, then you are fulfilling your purpose. And God wants to do so much more than you could even imagine in and through you. Remember, the reason the seeds are planted is so that you and so that I will grow to maturity. And the reason we're to grow to maturity is we bear fruit along the way as we mature, and Jesus and God is glorified, and people are drawn to Him, and we so prove to be His disciples. So, the last group, Jesus explains, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 60, 30, and 100-fold. This is the only heart. This is the only soul, the only soil, the only believer out of the second, third, and fourth. Because remember, the first one's not even saved. This third one is the only one that's fulfilling the purpose that Jesus called them for. They're the only one that's making an impact that brings glory to Jesus. They're growing up. Let me ask you a question. Do you know more scripture? We're at the beginning of 2019 as I teach this. Do you know more scripture at the beginning of 2019 than you knew at the beginning of 2018? You should. Are you more mature now than you were then? You know, I've known people that grow by leaps and bounds because they're hungry for Jesus, and they hunger for the Word, and they pray, and they exercise the Word in their lives, and they grow in Jesus. But I've also known people that have known the Lord for a long time, and they're the same now as they were 10 years ago. There's no change. They received Jesus because they didn't want to go to hell. They wanted to go to heaven, and I'm not the judge. They may be saved. You know, you can be a saved Christian, but you're not bearing any fruit. Let me tell you one other thing about bearing fruit, aside from the fact that you glorify God and you prove to be His disciples. When you bear fruit as a Christian, my friend, you're laying up for yourselves treasures and rewards and position, if you will, in heaven. You know, we think, well, I'm saved. I know that when I die, I know I'm not living like I should live, but at least I'm saved, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, first of all, you need to make sure you're really saved if you're not bearing fruit. And second of all, if you are saved, when you get to heaven, you're not going to have anything left laid up for you in heaven. You know, heaven's all about being with Jesus, but it's about crowns and rewards and treasures that you laid up while you were on this earth. Please understand this. This life is about making a difference when we're here and also when we go to the next life. That's why we have it's short compared to eternity, but that's why we have a lifespan on this earth. First of all, because God wants people to come into His kingdom. And once you and I are saved, then we're supposed to grow in the Lord and lead other people to Jesus. You'll never lead people to Jesus if you're not growing in Jesus. So I want to encourage you, make the year 2019, or if this is in the middle of the year or a later year when you hear this, make it a point today, whatever the date is, whatever today is, that from now on, you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It starts when you go to Him and you say, Lord, I've floundered. I've just kind of messed around for a while, but I want to get serious. And that's what I'm hearing at the beginning of 2019. God's people, so many of God's people, need to just get more serious. So many Christians are living a status quo, ho-hum Christian life. They're more interested in who's going to win the Super Bowl or who's going to win this national championship. They're more interested in, again, like I said, the latest flick or the latest TV show or the latest fashions, whatever. But they're less interested in Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians said to the Corinthians, he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What he's saying is, when I came to you, I mean, we can sit down and we can talk about the weather, but listen what we're going to talk about first. Do you know Jesus? If you do know Jesus, tell me what you know about Jesus. Tell me what you've learned about Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. When are we going to understand that? That's when we're going to see Washington changed. That's when we're going to see our families changed. That's when we're going to change, when we understand it's all about Jesus. He's got us here for that purpose. He's given us the baptism and the Holy Spirit, the endowment with power from on high to be witnesses and to be bold in what we do and to see signs, wonders, and miracles at our own hands that bring glory to Jesus. That's what it's all about. But you know what? If you are to that point, let me just say this. If you're to that point, then all you got to do is say, enough is enough. I want more. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you, Father, to fill me with your power, to fill me with the same Holy Spirit that the apostles were filled with. It's impossible to live for Jesus, to declare the gospel, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus without the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That's what causes a person and helps a person. He's known as the comforter, the helper, the one called alongside to help. That's what causes us to grow to maturity. So make that commitment right now. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study more, and I commit right now to make Jesus the center of my life. And whatever He has for me in this life is going to be an adventure, and it's going to be powerful because He is the one that's called me to do that. You are special to God. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you so that you, yes, would go to heaven, but you would do the greater works than He did while He was on earth, because He had to go back to the Father and send that Holy Spirit I was talking about. Commit to Him. Just by faith, say, God, I'm going deeper. Thank you so much for listening to this teaching. Thank you for getting excited with me. It's a great time ahead for all of us. You know, the world might be haywire. It might be going berserk. But never have we lived in a greater time than we do right now to serve Jesus and to see His glory revealed in the earth today. God bless you. Thanks again for listening.